kids can be dismissed to the back for a kids club or whatever that is. And while they're going out, you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now in John chapter 1, you have John the Baptist, not the John that wrote John, but John the Baptist, the other John. You have John the Baptist, and he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's out there crying, you know, make way, make straight the way of the Lord. And he's preparing the way for the Lord, and he's baptizing people and getting things ready for the Lord to come. And in verse 29, he introduces Jesus Christ to the people. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There he is. The promised Messiah is here at last. He's right there. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The next day after he said that is in verse 35. And we're going to pick up there in verse 35. Read along with me, John 1:35. Again, the next day after John stood, two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Father, help us to hear from you tonight. Lord, may what's preached tonight move us all closer to Thee. May it bring our hearts and minds and lives more in line with how You want us to live, in closer fellowship with You. We pray that You'll be with the words that are preached, that You'll help me to preach what You want me to preach. Help it to be Your words, Lord, and not mine own. And pray in Jesus' name, amen. So there you have John the Baptist, and he's standing there, and he's got two of his disciples with him, okay? And along comes walking by on the road or whatever, along comes walking by Jesus. And John the Baptist, he turns to his two disciples, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. There he is. Maybe they weren't around the day before in verse 29 when he pointed him out, but right there, he turned to his two disciples, he said, right there, that man over there, that's the one. That's the Christ. That's the Messiah. That's the Lamb of God. And those two disciples, they lost no time in running and following Jesus Christ. Now, I just find that amazing. I think that's amazing. You know what those two disciples did not say? They did not say, that's neat, but you know, John, I have my own religion. I'm a Jew. I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm one of God's chosen people. I've already got my own religion. I don't need to follow that man. They didn't say that. Boy, if you go out door knocking today and you knock on someone's door and you say, behold, the Lamb of God. I'm here to show you Jesus Christ. You know what they'll say? I got my own religion. I'm Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist or, you know, fill in the blank. I'm not interested in changing. I got my own religion. I'm set. You know, those two disciples, they didn't say, the Lamb of God? Well, I got my own church. In fact, I'm part of the First Baptist Church of Bethesda. In fact, I'm one of the genuine Baptists that's been baptized by the First Baptist, John the Baptist. I'm set. I've got my own church. I go to that church, that First Baptist Church, and I don't need anything else. Tell you what, you go out and talk to lost people on the street and you'll find that that's what they're going to say. Yeah, I got my own church. I'm involved. I'm happy where I'm at. Jesus? Nah, I'm already set. I got my own church. Those two disciples, they didn't turn to John and say, what are you talking about, John? We're pretty good people. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, we're already good people. You know, We're trying to do our best. We're out here following the prophet of God, John the Baptist. Come on, what else do you expect? But when you knock on people's door and say, look at the Lamb of God. I want to show you Jesus Christ. Nah, they're already got it covered. They're already pretty good people. They're already following the Pope. They're already following Allah's prophet, Muhammad. They already got it covered. They're pretty good people. In fact, you compare them to their next door neighbor, oh man, they're a cut above the rest. These two people didn't say that. They didn't say, Jesus? That's the Lamb of God? That Jesus over there, that carpenter son? Boy, he doesn't really look like that much. Yeah. Nothing particularly special about him. I'm just not interested in following him. But yet, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you. Jesus? Yeah. A good guy, but nothing really particularly special about him. Certainly not the Son of God. You know, looks like a normal guy to me. Nothing really there for me. Atheist, same thing. You know, I'm telling you, these two people didn't debate, they didn't argue, they didn't make excuses, they didn't put it off till later. They didn't hesitate. No. John said, the Lamb of God. They said, what? Where? And off they went. And they followed Jesus. Now, it said there in verse 35 that those were John the Baptist's disciples. You know what? They left John the Baptist standing there by himself and took Jesus Christ instead. What they had, they said, that's better. And off they went and they followed Jesus Christ. It says they followed Jesus. I'm going to talk tonight about the stages of following Jesus. And here in John chapter 1, you have two men that they got pointed out, the Lamb of God. The one that takes away the sin of the world, and they follow Jesus. And I'm going to say that's a picture of salvation. I'm going to say that's someone who, when you point out Jesus Christ to them, whatever they had before all of a sudden didn't matter. No, they're going to go follow Jesus. That's salvation. That's a picture of salvation. The first stage of following Jesus is salvation. Keep your finger in John chapter 1. We'll come back in a couple minutes. Look a couple chapters over at chapter 10. In chapter 10, verse 24, you have some Jews coming up to ask Jesus a question. Look at what they asked him. Verse 24 of John 10, Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Are you the Messiah? Are you that Lamb of God? Are you the promised one? Are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. I say to you this morning that the first stage of following Jesus Christ is eternal life. It's believing on Him. If you're not following Jesus Christ to that degree, you don't got eternal life. The first stage of following Jesus Christ, the first level, the first step is salvation. And I know you guys know that, but I'm going to say it anyway. The first stage of following Jesus Christ is salvation. Now look back in John chapter 1. Hopefully you kept your finger there. You know, these two men, they're new followers of Jesus Christ. They're new Christians. They just got it. And you know what they do? They do what so many new Christians do. Look in verse 38. End of verse 37, it says, they followed Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Those two men wanted to know more about Jesus. They wanted to know more about this man that they had started following. They wanted to know what he was like, where he lived, what he was doing. They had questions and they sought answers. And when a new Christian gets saved, all of a sudden he's excited about going to church. All of a sudden he's excited about reading his Bible. All of a sudden he has all these questions. And he wants to know more about the man who saved him. He wants to know more about Jesus. And he's excited. And he'll listen to anything he can. Anybody who will tell him anything about Jesus. Oh yeah, tell me more. Tell me more. I'm saved. I just got saved. And they have a passion. And Jesus, you know what he said to those men? In the next verse, he saith unto them, come and see. Come and see. Now, if someone asked me, some stranger started following me, and I said, what do you want? And they said, I want to know where you live. At the most, I might say, well, the Twin Cities. Maybe I'd say New Brighton, depending on how specific I really wanted to be. But, you know, Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, Bethsaida, you know, some friend's house. No. He said what I wouldn't say. He said, oh, come on, join me. I'll show you. Come along with me. Come walk with me. Talk with me. Come and see. Jesus Christ wants you to learn more about him. He wants you to seek out the answers. In fact, he wants you to come along with him. He doesn't want you to just know facts about his love and his mercy and his grace and his tenderness. No, he wants you to come and see. He wants you to experience them. He wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. And so he comes to these guys. He said, oh, I'm glad you're interested. I'm glad you want to know. Come and see. Come on. They wanted to know more about their Savior, this man that they had started following. They wanted to know more about Jesus. Verse 39, they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Not only did they want to know more about him, they stayed with him for a while. They wanted to be close with him. They wanted to have some fellowship with him. They wanted to just talk with him and have sweet communion and just stick around close to his side. And when when someone gets newly saved, oh, they just want to be by their Lord. They want to be in his will. They want to do what he wants. They want to say what he wants them to say, do what he wants them to do, go where he wants them to go. They want to be close to Jesus. They want to be in close fellowship. The third thing a new Christian, a third typical trait of a new Christian, a new follower of Jesus Christ, is verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we found him! We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Boy, when you get saved, you know, one of your first instincts, one of your first things you want to do is you just want to go and tell your family. You want to go tell your friends, guess what happened to me? I found the Messiah. I found the Christ. It's Jesus. And it gets you in trouble sometimes, but you know, when you first find Jesus, you don't think about that. No, you just want to tell others what you found. Boy, all those things happened to me. I got saved when I was only 7 years old. And I got saved in the basement of the church we were attending at the time, and in some little children's church type of group. And I remember I couldn't wait to get home and tell my parents what had happened. Boy, I was bubbling over with excitement. I was just all eager with anticipation. I couldn't wait to get home. And we got home, and I got my parents alone in their bedroom and sat them down. I said, guess what? I found the Savior. And he's my Savior. I got saved. I found the Messiah. I found the Christ. Isn't that great? And boy, I was only 7, but church took on a new meaning for me. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to hear more about the man that saved me. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell, and I wanted to know more about my new destination, heaven. I wanted to hear about it. I had questions. I wanted to know where Jesus dwelt because I wanted to dwell there someday. Boy, it was fun being a new Christian. I wanted to abide by my Savior. I was only 7 years old. It was towards the end of my first grade year of school when I got saved. And shortly after that, on the last day of school rolled around. And I was going to a public school, and to celebrate the last day of school, this public school that I was going to put on music over all their loudspeakers. And it wasn't Christian music. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm not supposed to listen to this. I just got saved. I belong to Jesus Christ. I want to stay close to Him. And this music, it's going to drive me the other way. I don't want to hear this. I want to abide close to my Savior. So I climbed out of my chair, crawled underneath my desk, rolled up in a little ball, and put my hands over my ears. And I sat the entire song or whatever it was. I still remember what song it was, but it was called My Witch's Brew. I don't know how it goes anymore, but I remember that. But I sat under my desk, rolled up in a little ball at 7 years of age, with my hands over my ears, because I wanted to stay close to my Savior. I wanted to be what He wanted me to be. Would to God that had never left me. Would to God that when a new Christian got saved and all that zeal and all that passion and all that desire and all that love for the Lord never faded. Would to God it were that way. But all too often, you're like these two disciples. Look back in verse 39. They came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day. They stayed for a while. But it wasn't all that long, and, you know, they went their way. They went on their own way, and, you know, one of those two men was Andrew, and he ended up bringing Peter later and stuff like that. But, you know, and I know Andrew later became one of the disciples, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. He later followed Jesus where He went and stayed where Jesus stayed, but not yet. Not yet. No. No, he abode with Him that day and then went back to his fishing. Went back to his life. Went back to just, you know, the same old. And boy, I know I did that. Boy, I was on fire as a 7-year-old kid. I just had a desire to never leave the Lord's side. But it wasn't long, and I had left it. And I was back to living life for me and not Him. I spent the next about 15 years of my life living for me and not Him. I had reached that first stage of following Jesus, salvation, but I hadn't gone any farther. Oh, I thought I had attained. I thought I was living the Christian life. In fact, people told me so. People actually told me, I wish my kids were like you. They told my parents that they wish their sons were like me. You know, when I was at not this church, 2 churches before I was here, when I was out on my own and out one of the churches, one of the guys there told me, boy, I hope you pray for me because I know if you pray, God will answer your prayers because he won't answer mine because I'm not living right. But you're closer to God. You know why people thought that? Because I went to church. And because I didn't drink and I didn't smoke and I didn't party wildly. And that's it. I didn't have a close walk with the Lord. I didn't have my own prayer life. I didn't read my own Bible. The only Bible I ever got is, you know, either my parents or a church. I didn't read it. I went to church because you were supposed to go to church. I had grown up my whole life going to church. It was a duty. You know why I didn't smoke and didn't drink? It wasn't because Christ didn't want me to. Because I found that stuff repulsive. It was because of me. I didn't want to party because I had no interest in, I wasn't the social butterfly. I was the introverted geek. I wasn't the life of the party. I was the corner computer hacker. It was about me. It wasn't about my Lord. I had abode within that day. You know, I did those things for me. I did plenty of other things that weren't on Christians' radars. I did plenty of other things without any regard to what my Lord thought about them. Oh, now I'd watch TV, movies. If it had bad language in it, I didn't care. If it had scantily clad women in it, I didn't care. If it had witchcraft and sorceries in it, I didn't care. If it had bad music in it, I still watched. I had come a long ways from that day that I sat underneath my first grade desk with my hands over my ears. And I thought I was everything a Christian was supposed to be. And people thought so too. I'm telling you, I'd reached the first stage of following Jesus. Salvation. But I had gone no further down the road of the Christian walk. You know, if you're saved and you go to church, that's good. That's great. But there's more to the Christian life than that. And Jesus Christ is a few steps further down the road, and he's saying, follow me, follow me. Look in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 12, you had Andrew in John chapter 1 specifically was stated to have followed Jesus. He was one of those two disciples of John that when John pointed out the Lamb of God, he followed Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, that's John the Baptist. That means this is at a later date in time than John chapter 1 when John the Baptist was out preaching on the streets, right? Now, John the Baptist is in prison. Okay? Just wanted you to see that. This is later time, later place, forward in history. Verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now back in John chapter 1, it said Andrew had followed him. Right? We read that. But by the time it gets to Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ comes up to Andrew and Peter and says, there's more. There's more steps you have to take. There's another stage you have to get to. Come on and follow me. Stage two of following Jesus Christ is service. You need to follow Jesus in service. You know what he said? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said, I got something for you guys to do. I want you to help me go fishing. I want you to help me fish for men. I want you to go help me spread the bait so that more fish will come into the net. Follow Jesus in service. That's the second stage of following Christ. Keep your finger in Matthew 4 and go over to John chapter 12. We'll be back in Matthew 4 in just a minute. You know, the reason that this church has the ministries it does, door knocking practically every weekend, street preaching, prisons every Thursday, nursing homes twice a month. You know, the reason that we have some of those ministries is to make it easier for you to go fishing. It's easier for you to serve the Lord. Going to church, just merely going to church isn't service. Although you can serve God at church. But just going to church isn't service in and of itself. And so, in John chapter 12, where am I? Verse 24. Jesus Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in the world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man," what is it? "Serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." The second stage of following Jesus Christ is service. If you're saved, that's great, but there's more. He wants you to take another couple of steps down the road. Follow him further. Service. Now, Jesus Christ says, if you're going to serve me, there's some things that are going to have to happen. He says, if you're going to serve me, you're going to have to give up your own life. It's just not going to work any other way. No man can serve two masters. If you want to serve yourself and me, it's just not going to work. If you're going to serve me, you're going to have to die to yourself. Look it. He says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If you don't die to yourself, you're not going to bring forth any fruit. If you don't give up living for yourself and start living for Jesus Christ, you haven't reached the second stage of following Christ. You can't serve him that way. He wants your service. He wants your service. That sower, when he went out to sow, some of that seed, the Word of God, some of that seed fell among the thorns. And that represented they that heard and went forth. But then the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life choked them out. I'm saying to you tonight that if you want to serve God, Jesus Christ said, you're going to have to die first. If you want to bring forth fruit, you're going to have to die first. It says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. If all you serve is self, then everything you live for, everything you work for, everything you strive for, you're going to lose one day. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can bring nothing out. It's not going to amount to a hill of beans. But it goes on. It says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If you serve Christ instead of yourself, all that you live for, all that you work for, all that you strive for, you'll get to keep forever. That's why the Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves don't break through or steal. You're going to have to serve him. You're going to have to stop serving yourself and start serving your Christ, your Savior, the King of Kings. He's worth it. He's worthy of it. He's deserving of it. And it'll be worthwhile. Look at the end of verse 26. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Oh yeah, that'll be worth it. That'll be worth it. God honoring you. If you serve Him. If you serve Him. Now, I know it's not something we like to do. I know it's not fun. I know it's not enjoyable to get out there and knock on doors and talk to people that don't want us there and street preach and go to prisons and go to nursing homes. I know it's not fun. I understand that. I suffer from the same malady. You know what? Jesus Christ understands that too. Look in the next verse, verse 27. Jesus Christ goes on to say, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. I don't really want to go. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." I'm going to go to glorify you. He said, "I don't really want to do this." He said, "Save me from this hour. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know, he didn't really want to go. But he went anyway. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he went anyway? You know why he went? To glorify the Father. You know why you should go? To glorify the Father. To glorify the Father. Next time you don't want to go and you say, "Father, save me from this hour. Let the rapture come," or something. Or what kind of maybe I'm sick, or maybe I have something else going on. What kind of excuse can I use to save me from this hour? Just bear in mind that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He did it. He did it for you. And he wants you to do it for him. He wants you to go anyways. Go anyways. He'll help you. Back in Matthew chapter 4, he'll help out. Matthew chapter 4, hopefully you kept your finger there. If not, back to Matthew 4:19. You know what Jesus Christ said to those two men, Simon, Peter, and Andrew? He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He did not say, "Wow, you guys, I admire your skill in fishing. You guys have what it takes. You know what you're doing in the fishing business. Come on, I want you with me. Follow me because you guys are such good fishers of men." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, "Boy, that weather, that sea, that fishing has really toughened you up. You've become rough, tough, hardened men. I want you on my side." No, he didn't say that either. He says, "It doesn't matter what you can do. You just follow me and I'll make you what I want you to be. I'll make you fishers of men." You know what we say? We say, I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to deal with people. I don't know how to be a good witness. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to get all tongue-tied and messed up and the verses aren't going to come right. Jesus Christ says, "If you just follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Stop giving all the excuses. The question comes down to only this. Are you willing to follow or not? I have such a hard time talking to people. I said I was the introverted geek. I didn't talk to people growing up hardly. I have a hard time, when a new visitor comes into church, I have a hard time getting out more than hi. I don't know what to talk about. I can't even talk about the weather. I just say hi and then my mind goes like, did I say hi already? I don't know what to say. When I was scared stiff of going out door knocking and street preaching. When I first started coming to this church and found out that they did that, I kid you not, that was almost enough to scare me away by itself. I almost turned around and stopped coming just because I didn't want to be in a church that did that. I didn't want to be convicted about that because I was so scared of it. First couple times I went out, I didn't say a word. Not one word. I hid behind Mr. Carver the entire time. Just cowered. And I may not be, in fact, I'm not everything that I should be now. I'm not who to look to find out how to be a good witness. But I'll tell you what, I've sure come a long way since then. I'll tell you what, if I could have seen myself out street preaching now, if I could have seen that 10 years ago, I would have said, that's not me. That's not me. My evil twin. It's because it can't be me. I can't do that. And you know what? The credit is all his. It's not me. I know that. It's Jesus Christ. And if you're willing to go when he says, follow me, he'll make you what he wants you to be. It says it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You just have to let him work. Stop resisting him. Stop giving your excuses. Stop just being afraid. Are you willing to follow him in service? Jesus Christ said to Andrew and to Simon Peter, he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He wants you to follow him in service. He wants to get out there and go fishing. Turn now over to Luke chapter 9. You know, when you start serving Jesus Christ, when you get to that second stage of following him, it won't be that long and you're going to run into the third stage. You're going to run into stage number 3. You're going to run into the next thing. The companion passage, the parallel passage of Luke chapter 9 is Matthew 16. And Matthew 16 occurs quite a bit after Matthew 4, where we just read Jesus Christ saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? But we're not going to read Matthew 16. We're going to read it in Luke 9. But I just want to say that this is sometime after Jesus Christ said to Peter and Andrew, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me in service. So they come along, they get to stage 2, and then there's this. And then there's this. Luke 9:18 came to pass as he was alone praying. His disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, so there's Peter again, right? Same guy that he said, follow me before. Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said unto them all, that includes Peter, if any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow me. He had already told Peter to follow him in service. But now he says, Peter, there's a few more steps I want you to take. I want you to come a little further down the road. He says, I'm going to go out and suffer many things. I'm going to be rejected and I'm going to be killed. Peter, all you other disciples, follow me. Follow me. The third stage of following Jesus is suffering. You need to follow Jesus in suffering. He wants you to follow him in suffering. And I'm telling you, if you succeed at stage two, if you get out there and start serving him, if you open your mouth for your Savior, the world is not going to like it and the devil is not going to like it, and there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some suffering. You know the verse, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus Christ said, the servant, if you're serving him, you're a servant. If you're not serving him, then you're not a servant, even though you're saved. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. You need to prepare yourself for that so that you can endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The third stage of following Jesus is suffering. And Jesus Christ said, I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be killed. And you know, if you follow him this far down the line, you're going to have to suffer some things too. In fact, you're going to be rejected by lots of people too. In fact, people are going to want to kill you. And by the grace of God, that's not, you know, widespread in this country yet. But someday it will be. Someday they're going to kill you and think they're doing God's service. I hope we're out of here by then. But who knows? There's countries in this world that they will kill you for professing Jesus Christ. There have been many, many saints that have gone on before us in the past that have died for their faith in Jesus Christ. Died because they opened their mouth for their Lord. And Jesus says, if you're going to serve me, some suffering's coming along the way, and I want you to follow me. I want you to keep coming down that road. When that sower went out to sow, some of the seed fell among the thorns, but some fell upon the stony places too. And that stony places, that represented those that heard the word and received it. In fact, it says that they endured for a time. They went for a while. They were going for a while. But then it says, oh, when suffering and affliction and tribulation arise for the word's sake, then they're offended. Then they're offended. And they don't make it to stage three. They can't handle the suffering. They can't handle the suffering. And Jesus Christ says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. And come, follow me. Verse 24 there it says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Your life on this earth is not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to him. You need to lose your life. You need to forfeit it over to him. You need to give your life over to him. He paid for it. You need to lose your life for his sake. Give it over to him. You need to be willing to take some hard things for him. He took them for you. You owe him no less. Verse 25 says, what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Now I know you can't lose your salvation. I know you can't lose your soul. But the principle is still applies. If all you're out for is to gain what you can in this world, and let's face it, most of us are a long ways off from gaining the whole world. But if all you're out for is to gain what you can in the world, what is it going to advantage you? What is it going to profit you? Absolutely nothing. Verse 26, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, a lot of Christians are ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But haven't there been times for you when you just didn't want to open your mouth for the Savior because you didn't want others thinking something about you? You didn't want the ridicule. You didn't want the cursing. You didn't want the hassle. Hasn't there been times that they've blasphemed your Lord and you just get silent? Just ashamed to open your mouth. We were at the grocery store the other day and gave the clerk a gospel tract, and he leaned over and said kind of quietly in a low voice, I'm a Christian too. And then he looked around to see if any of his coworkers heard him. That's just the way we are. We're ashamed. And I can just imagine Jesus Christ up there shaking his head. And he's ashamed of you. You grieve the Holy Spirit of God whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. You haven't reached the third stage. You can't put up with the mockery and the scorn and the ridicule and the cursing and all that stuff. You can leave Luke 9. We won't need that anymore. Go back to go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I have till 10:30, right? Yeah, right. 1 Peter chapter 2. I only have one more point after this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Suffering. He wants you to follow him in suffering. Look at this. Verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 2. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He says, when you suffer wrongfully, when you suffer because you don't deserve it, when you suffer after you've been doing right, if you take that patiently, that's acceptable to God. That's what he's called you to. He says he's called you to it, and he's called you to follow his steps. He says, follow me. Follow. He says, I went through the suffering. I went through the anguish. And I did it for you. You owe me no less. Follow me. He's called you to something. He's called you to suffer. He's called you to follow him in suffering. Lastly, turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21 is the last chapter of the book of John. In John chapter 19, Jesus Christ dies on the cross and is buried. In John chapter 20, you see an empty tomb. Christ is risen. John chapter 21 takes place after that. So this is after all the other instances of following that we read about. This is the final stage. This is the end goal. This is the last part. This is the end game. It's the finish line. Jesus Christ says in verse 15 to Peter, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter," there's that same guy again, he said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." And you know this happened three times, right? Jesus Christ said, "Peter, you love me. Peter, you love me. Peter, you love me." And Peter says, "Yes, yes, yes." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs." Right? That's Peter. That's the same person who he said, "Follow me in service. Follow me in suffering." But Peter, we're not done yet. We haven't arrived at the finish line yet. One more time, he says, "Follow me, look at it with me." Verse 18, he says to Peter still, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, there it is, "Follow me." He said, "Peter, I'm glad you've gotten this far. But there's a little further to go. There's just one more step I want you to take. Follow me." Verse 19, Jesus Christ tells Peter how he's going to die. And then he says, "Follow me." You know what Jesus Christ wants? He wants you to follow him faithfully till death. I know it didn't start with an S. Too bad. Follow him faithfully till death. He says, "Peter, your death is coming up. You're going to die. You're going to be killed. Keep following me." You know, just because you follow Jesus Christ for a little while, if you quit, that means you didn't make it to stage four. That means you did not make it to the finish line. Just because you've served him, just because you've suffered for him, if you don't do it faithfully till death, you didn't make the mark. He wants you to follow him faithfully till death. You know, if you used to regularly attend door knocking and street preaching, if you were involved as you could be in nursing home and prisons, and you tried to get out there and win the lost, and you tried to be a fisher of men, you were following Jesus in service, and one day you quit. One day you just said, "I've had enough of this." And your attendance started getting spotty, and eventually you just stopped coming. You didn't make it to stage four. You know, I know some of you have suffered for Jesus. I know some of you used to have bumper stickers on the back of your car, and you used to face the rage of those incense drivers when they saw that little snippet of a verse on there. And you got all the obscene gestures, and you got the cutting off in the road, and you got, you know, the honking the horn and all that stuff. And you endured it for a little while, and then one day it just was too much. It just was too much. All those co-workers seeing those bumper stickers, and you know what they're thinking. One of my cars has been keyed because of our bumper stickers. He wants you to solve him, follow him. He wants you to talk straight. He wants you to follow him faithfully till death. You know, if you've suffered the scorn and the mockery of trying to witness to your family, to your friends, to your co-workers, and they just won't take it, and they say you're too religious, and they curse you, and you quit. You didn't make it to stage four. You didn't make it to stage four. You didn't reach the final mark. If all you can say about those things now is, yeah, I used to do that. I used to be a witnesser. I used to try and do those things. Then you didn't make it to stage four. Jesus Christ wants you to follow him faithfully till death. Maybe it's someone else. Maybe you've got your eyes on someone else and someone else hasn't been faithful. And so it caused you to not be faithful. Maybe someone else stabbed you in the back. Maybe someone else was a hypocrite in the church. And you just got your eyes on them, and man, if they're going to be like that, well, why? I don't see why I have to keep going. That almost happened to Peter. Look in verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That's John, right? That's John. Verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He says, don't worry about John. Peter, you need to focus on yourself. Get your eyes off of him. I want you to follow me faithfully till death. It doesn't matter what he does. If he quits going to door knocking, I want you to still go to door knocking. If he quits serving, I want you to keep serving. Just because he watches bad videos and TV doesn't mean God's opinion has changed on them. He still wants you to follow him. Just because they listen to bad music, he doesn't want you listening to bad music. Get your eyes off of others. You have enough to focus on with yourself. Peter, what is it to you what I want John to do? Follow thou me. You know, it says in Revelation 2:10, it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And in the context, that's talking about some people that are about to be killed for Jesus Christ. They're about to become martyrs. So I've heard that crown of life referred to as the martyr's crown. And I have no doubts that that's true. But if you think only martyrs can be faithful unto death, you need to think again. If you think God only is interested in a martyr being faithful until death, you need to think again. God wants you to be faithful till death. You know, if you died tonight on the way home from work, if you were in a car accident, and you died tonight on the way home from church, sometimes seems like work, died on the way home from church, if you've been faithful unto this point, you know what you'll have been? You'll have been faithful unto death, even if you aren't martyred. And the Bible says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. He wants you to be faithful till death. He wants you to not quit. He didn't quit on you. Don't quit on him. You know, the only other place that the crown of life shows up is in James chapter 1, verse 21. No, sorry, verse 12. Dyslexic. James 1:12. And you know there that the crown of life there is promised to the man that endures temptation. Food for thought. What if that's not two separate ways to get the same crown? What if that's two parts of the same equation? What if it's two pieces of the same puzzle? Let me ask you this. How long do you have to endure temptation to get the crown of life? Do I have to endure temptation once and then, crown of life is mine. I can live the rest of my life the way I want to. I made it through that temptation. I'm settled. What if you have to endure temptation faithfully till death for that crown of life? You know, those martyrs, those people that were martyred, they were put out there and they were told, listen, if you denounce your faith, if you denounce your belief in Jesus Christ, I'll let you go. Or I'll give you a swift death. No pain. It'll be swift. But if you don't, if you hold fast to your faith, it's going to be a long, agonizing, torturous death. And Jesus Christ said, be faithful unto death. You know what? They had to endure temptation. Because you know what they'll be tempted to do? They'll be tempted to say, all right, give me the swift death. I denounce my faith. What if those are two pieces of the same puzzle? What if enduring temptation and being faithful unto death for the crown of life are together? And if you want to be faithful unto death, you have to endure that temptation. Come on, you're going to be tempted to quit someday. A lot of you already have. And God says, be faithful till death, and I'll give you the crown of life. One more thought, and then I'm done. You want to hear from the lips of your Savior one day, you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Right? Right? Anyone here not really care? Anyone really here not want to hear that? Anyone want to hear, boy, you barely made it? I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can I just suggest this wild proposition to you? Can I just suggest that Jesus Christ won't say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if it's not true? Is that fair enough? If you haven't been a servant, He won't call you a servant. God cannot lie. If you haven't served Him faithfully and well, He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because it won't be true. I'm telling you, a servant's more than... I thought I had the Christian life down. And I found out I was missing a lot. Christian life is a lot more than just salvation. It's a lot more than just coming to church. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You're going to have to be that. If you want to hear anything of that sort from the lips of the man that shed his blood for you. I want to hear that. Do you? You want to come and play the piano? Serve Him faithfully till death. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Well, Jenny plays, if you want to come and talk to the Lord, now's a good time. Hopefully everyone here tonight has made it to stage one of following Jesus. Hopefully you're all washed in His blood and heaven bound. Some of you here, though, have never taken the steps necessary to get out there and serve Him. Why not? What's holding you back? Jesus Christ is calling to you, follow me. He's telling you there's more to the Christian life than you've got. He wants you to follow Him in service. Some of you have served God, but just couldn't take the suffering that comes along with it. Just makes you shrivel up. Jesus suffered so much for you. Why can't you put up with a comparatively small fraction for Him? He's called you to it. He's called you to it. Follow me. Follow me. Will you do it? He wants you to follow Him in suffering. Some of you used to do those things. You used to serve God. You've suffered for Him in the past, but recently it's just been a lot easier to sit on the sidelines. You sat down there for a little while, and that little while turned into a long while. Turned into months and years. Jesus Christ is down the road calling you to get back up and follow Him. Don't quit. Don't quit on Him. He wants you to follow Him faithfully till death. Now is a good time to renew your commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Just wait here one more minute and then we'll stand and sing. Just one more minute here. All right, you can look up here and grab your hymnal and stand and sing number 398. The altar's still open if you want to come. 398. Father, help us to follow You more in our lives and with our hearts. Pray You just go with us. Bless the message that was preached and the word that was sown. And pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, meeting for anyone who's ever gone on visitation up front.